All right, well, with that, let's dive into our message here. So go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 43. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. It's going to be our main text, but we're going to be reading some different scriptures at length. And so today I want to talk to you about the deeper story here. And this week, this last week, over on Wednesday night, Pastor Josh Potter and I, Josh at Sioux City First Church, we were teaching a class talking about emotional maturity. And we taught a lesson talking about the deeper story. And we dove in the latter half of the class into some deeper things and some about being a disciple of Christ and your individual story. And I kind of took Wednesday's lesson and I've adapted it into a more sermon-length style lesson. And I think some of that's applicable to where we are at as a church and a lot of us in our lives. I've been listening to conversations this week and last week talking with people in our church and around in our Siouxland community that are believers. And I think today's sermon message will be applicable to everything I kind of heard. It's interesting how if you listen to the Spirit drops kind of a continual thread through the community of disciples and things that are happening. So today I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about the deeper story, about how this emotions and beliefs are tied to our deeper story, not just the surface one that we tell. Our emotions and beliefs are tied to the deeper story of our lives, not just the up here, the top level stories we tell about our lives. And we'll dive into this through our main text of Isaiah 43. But I want to ask us this, start with this, what is your story? What is your story? If I were to ask you what is your story, what would you tell me? Have you ever asked someone this? Tell me your story, right? You get some people that go into like, oh my goodness, it's a 4-hour, you're like, oh, I just wanted the 30-second synopsis, like sum it up, buddy. And then you get some people, you say, what's your story? And they're like, I was born, my name is Dan, and I'm 44. And they're like, you got anything else? That's my story. You're like, oh, goodness. You know, you ever been in those two extremes? Or maybe in between, right? But what is your story? Your story is very important to how you see your walk as a disciple and how you view the world around you. Now, I know this is nothing new. It's not, woo, life, you know, this isn't like life-changing. However, sometimes as a disciple of Christ, we minimize the deeper inner life story, and we overemphasize the outer life story. And I'm going to explain this here in a minute here, what I mean by this. But turn with me in your text to Isaiah 43. It's going to be here on your screen as well here. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. This is going to be our main text of the day. Isaiah 43. Let me get there myself here. But I want to talk to us today that God has written your story specifically. And through the good times, the bad times, the things you don't want to talk about, the things you have to talk about, the things that maybe no one else knows, God wants to use that. But he wants to anchor that into who he says you are and the story that he sings over you. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. It's on your screen here. It says this. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, when we look at this story here, look at some of this. Look at this. God says, do not fear. Well, that means that they had to go through something that was going to cause fear in their life. He says, I have summoned you by name, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, that means they're going to have to go through some deep waters. Ever been through a deep water or a flood and get scared? Then he goes on and says, they will not sweep over you or the river. So now there's waters, there's rivers, they're not going to sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, well, how many of you walk through fire? I've played with fire and got burned before. But this is walking through fire, you will not be burned. So there's two stories here. There's a story on the surface the Israelites could say, we've had to go through water, river, fire, and oh, our God just forgot us. He abandoned us. I mean, we're up the creek with no paddles and we're on fire, and there's not even water in the river. I mean, it's just horrible. Or there's the other, that's the one story. Or there's the deeper story here where the Lord Almighty says, I'm with you. I've called you by name. The waters and the fire will not touch you. There's a deeper story. And I start off today, what is your story? Is your story over here in your life where it's just, man, I know God's real, but boy, I'm just down on my luck. God hates me. He abandons me. It's just, I'm going through one tragedy to another, or are you over here? It says, man, I've been through some hard times, but man, praise the Lord, he's been with me. He's shown up. Yeah, I've got some scars, but that's how I've learned. Yeah, I've got some battle wounds. However, the Lord's been faithful. He's taken me out of the river, out of the torrent, out of the seas, out of the chaos and planted me over here. There's two stories we tell in our lives here. And this is the main text I want to highlight to us, is that all throughout the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah is constantly communicating from the Lord to his people that, hey, the world says, or you might tell the world, this is my story. But God says, no, this is your story over here. This is what I'm speaking in, and I'm prophesying over my people, that I'm with you. You are mine. You're not lost. I've got you. All this is to give me glory and to show you that, and to show your children, your grandkids, that I'm faithful and I'm true, and I'm going to take care of you here. So the first thought is this. It'll be here on your screen. Your emotions and beliefs are always tied to the deeper story. Now, in military agencies and in clandestine intelligence agencies, there's always the, quote, official truth. Then there's the ground truth, right? Have you ever been in an organization, right? The PR department, HR, puts out an email, and here's the official story. But we all know, right, in this department, we all know what happened, what went down, all right? We all know, right? There's always the official truth, and then there's the ground truth. And so up here, we would put the official truth would be up here, right? And then all the way down here would be the ground truth, down here on our paper here, all right? And a lot of times in our walk with Christ, discipleship, we'll tell the official truth. A lot of times we hide the ground truth, or we think, well, the ground truth is, yeah, the official is God loves me, but the ground truth is I don't feel that. I feel like he's abandoned me. Or Kent over here has got the blessed life, and I'm just trying to make it by. But I mean, it seems like, you know, God's always working his life, but my life, it's God's never working. We have these stories and these narratives that we tell ourselves. But today the Spirit wants to remind us that God is in your story, and I'm going to tie this all together here at the very end about having the right perspective of your story. If you remember Numbers 13, remember the Israelites were sent in by Joshua to conquer the land of Canaan, right? 12 spies, right? They had just seen the deliverance of all these years of Egypt and the desert. They've seen everything, and God said, hey, I've prepared the land of milk and honey. Go get it. It's yours. And we'll take the phrase from the river to the sea. It's all God's, his to begin with. It's all his. And God said, it's all yours. Go get it, buddy. But he said, defeat everyone and take everyone out because they have turned from me. When what happened? We know, right? The 12 spies went in. They came back. What happened? 10 were like, whoa, it's me. It says in Numbers 13 that we were like grasshoppers in our eyes. Their perspective, their story, God, they had the living God that said they did all this deliverance. Once again, I'm going to be with you. They go look at some tall giants. Literally, these were tall dudes. They were strong and mighty. And they came back and they said, in my eye, my story, my the official truth is, oh, God's with us. God said, go take over Canaan. But the ground truth is, guys, they came back and said, let me give you the down low. Hey, we're little. We're grasshoppers. God can't help us. We're up the creek, no paddle. Once again, their emotions and beliefs were tied to their story, that this deeper story in them. It was tied to their perspective. But God wanted to remind them that, hey, you're my people. I'm behind you. I said, go take them out. You're going to be fine. And what happened to the two spies? Two spies were like, we got this. It doesn't care if they're 20 feet tall. We got the Lord Almighty around up the military. Let's go. And let's go take the promised land. And what happened? The Israelites paid the rest of the Old Testament history. They paid for that disbelief, for the 10 overriding the 2. What happened? The Israelites, they were led into sin, witchcraft, sexual immorality, child sacrifice, theft, and they became subservient to nations, all because in their eyes, they told the story that we are little grasshoppers. They told the official story, oh, God's with us, but then there was the deeper ground story, which they told to their kids, their grandkids, their nieces and nephews. Hey, we are up the creek. We can't beat these guys. Yeah, God's good, but he can't stop the Canaanites, these big boys over here. And what happened? Their inner story, their emotions and beliefs were tied to this deeper, corrupted inner story. Which brings me to a question. Why do I react the way I do? Does my deeper story control my emotions and beliefs about myself, my God, and my friends around me? My marriage, my job, my provision? Now that's something that we all know happens in the Christian walk, and all of us in our discipleship, we have from time to time we have seen this in our life, Right? How many of you have had a bad thought life or a corrupted story, and that took your emotions to a bad place? Some of you may look at me confused, but I've been there, right? I thought, well, my spouse is just, she hates me. Oh, she hates me, or he hates me. And that leads you to being selfish, and I'm not going to serve. When all of a sudden you talk, gets rid of the issue. They were just upset because they stubbed their toe. And now, we get these stories and emotions that we build into our life, and it leads us to this deeper story that's not the official truth of what God has over us. So my second point is this. What has happened to us does not control us. It is the narrative that we have created to make sense of what has happened to us that actually dictates and controls. Tim, can I use your example, right? I say, Tim, tell me your story. Tim starts off, here's a story here, and there's another box, and he grew up to be a teenager. Then he found this wonderful young lady named Darlene, and oh, woohoo, they got married and all these things. Tim has all these boxes. And Tim starts, but, he starts connecting these boxes, and they're all just points about his life. He got married, he grew up in South Dakota, he's a business owner and all these things. Some are sad, some are hard, some are like, oh, man, that must have been rough, and some are funny, and some are, I don't get, that's a weird box. Why did he tell that? That's just a weird, that's just weird, dude. All right, so Tim tells a story up here. It's the official story of his life, but there's also these boxes of our ground stories, right? How many of you know this, right? Someone asks you your story. Oh, you keep it up here, but how many of you go down here to the ground story? I'm going to take my hand down, right? Right? Oh, we pretty up because bless the Lord. Oh, I've been blessed my whole life, right? Praise the Lord, Tim. All right? We keep these some of these official stories, and I'm not denying that, right? We can all raise our hand. God's been faithful in our lives. We can say, yes, the official story is God is faithful. He's been true. But we all know as disciples, we read Scripture. Scripture is full of all the dirty, ground-level things of people's lives and disciples' lives. But you have these two stories. But Tim tells me a story, and then I asked this, and it was in our classes we talked about this. The presenter talked about this on one of the videos we were watching. He said, what if you asked Stephen King and Steven Spielberg to come make a movie of your life, Tim? What would be the turnout movie? If you know Stephen King, the novelist, well, this would be dark, full of clowns and dogs and weird stuff and just scary and death, and right? But if you got Steven Spielberg, oh, it would be this epic tale of Tim born in a farm in South Dakota, fighting through the wind and the snow to, build a business, and then he met the girl of his dreams, and oh, it would be this triumphant, the hero getting pounded down, but he stood back up, and it'd be this totally different thing, right? So what is it? It's their perspectives. Same story. It's their perspective. Israelites, same story. The Israelites were enslaved, went through the 40 years of wilderness of people complaining. That's a whole other story you could preach on. Had to deal with that. They get to the promised land. God says, it's yours. Take it by force. I'm with you. And yet what happened? They didn't. The tribes of Judah fought many, many those little nations for years. They intermarried, had all these issues. But they had the same, they all had the same facts, but two different stories came out of the quest of Canaan. And so what has happened to us does not control us. It's the narrative we tell, right? A lot of us, my wife and I were talking about this week, sometimes even in marriage or situations in life or Jesus, we think, man, God's over here and I'm over here. But really, it's just right here. It's a few small things we're telling ourselves that, oh, God's distant from me. Oh, God's not working in my life. Oh, I'm struggling. Well, you are struggling, but it's really right here. It's right here. It's the story and the narrative we tell. But we tell ourselves, oh, officially I know God's with me, but really, I mean, God's over here. Then our emotions and our beliefs start to believe that and follow that. And our emotion beliefs are tied to that deeper story. So here's the next thing I want to think about is this. When you meet Christ in the Scriptures and in silence and solitude, he is going to challenge your deeper story. When the Israelites begin to seek Yahweh, and when the prophets began to confront them, guess what happened? They started realizing, oh, no, wait, God is with us. He's given us victory. Yes, we can go climb over a wall. We can take down a troop, as King David said. We can actually conquer and do things. But they had to believe the deeper story. They had to believe the deeper story that God was with them where they're at. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe this is your inner story. You're worth more when, dot, 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 fill in the blank. Or you're worth less, dot, dot, dot. How many of you I've ever thought that, all right? I've been a part of that, right? I remember, I grew up, if you were worth more, if you looked the part, right? Look nice, look churchy, you know, say the right thing, be happy, you know, happy, and just, you know, tell a funny joke, keep be the party of the room and be the entertainment, and, you know, look prim and proper, don't bring disgrace or shame to your family, you know, and, you know, you're worth more when you look nice or when you act right or when you don't bring shame upon your family or you're worth less when, fill in the blank from your own families of origin. But when we meet Christ in scriptures and in silent solitude, he confronts that story. He confronts that story, that deep part of us where we feel that worth or that shame. And we think, well, I've got to do this, this, and this to earn his love. Or if I do this or this, I don't earn it, right? And God wants to remind his people, and I want to talk to us here. God wants to remind us that there's nothing we can earn salvation. We all know this. We all know what the scriptures say. You are saved by grace through faith, not of works. We all know that, right? I mean, everyone in this room could probably quote it in different languages. But the ground truth is, well, I got to work like a dog to get my salvation. I mean, I better do the right thing. I better not screw up. I better show up at church. See Pastor Dan every week. I better. We add all these conditions. Yes, there are things we must do. Jesus does give us commands to do. However, Jesus says those commands still will not save you. It's by faith. So there's the official, and then there's the ground. Everybody tracking where I'm going? So when we meet Christ in the scriptures, he confronts that inner story sometimes we tell ourselves and that we struggle with. There's 95 places in the gospel. There's 95 geographical locations in the gospels, and there's somewhere between 200 to 230 different events that happen in the gospels. And in all these situations, guess what Jesus does? He challenges the people's stories. He tells Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, you're not just a little dude. Hey, you're my strong man. Come with me. I'm going to your house. What does he do to the woman caught in adultery? He changes her story. Hey, go and sin no more. But let's go. You've got a call in your life. Jesus confronts the stories of the people. He confronts Peter's story, Matthew's story. Matthew was the traitor, sold out his people, tax collector. And what does Jesus say? He says, come on, buddy. You're going to write about me. You're going to use your skills for something different. He rewrites, he tells the different stories. He challenges their deeper stories that they told about themselves, right? The disciples knew, the official story was the Messiah would come. But the ground truth is, man, we're looking for a Messiah that's going to kick Rome in the face, take over, kill everyone. But guess what? Jesus confronted their inner ground stories about who he was and what did Messiah, what did the Old Testament prophets say Messiah would be? He challenges those stories. Next is this. The process of repairing our emotions and beliefs about ourselves is almost always the process of the gospel washing through and changing our lives. How many of you have been changed by the gospel of Jesus? Amen, right? Right? We still have, in all of us, no matter many of you across the room, or many of you are mature in the Lord and walked with the Lord many, many years, but there's still sometimes those stories in our lives we have corrupted that are down here in the root of us. We're saved by grace, walking, we're gonna see Jesus. But there's still some of those stories that none of us may even know in this room, maybe even your spouse, that we've kept. And we think, well, this is the real story. And out of the real story, this is why I react this the way I do. Or this is why I respond or I do this or that. And I want to talk to you today and encourage you and challenge you that God wants to heal this and speak a different story over you. Just like that opening verse of Isaiah 43. The Israelites had one story, but God said, hey, when you think you have a story, but here's the real story. You're going to be okay. You're mine. Turn with me in your Bibles here to Isaiah 49. Go over a few chapters here. We're not going to read all these chapters, but I encourage you, go home, and I really would encourage you, challenge you, compel you, implore you, whatever word I could use, to go home in this week and read these three chapters over your life. Read through all three of these. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate and speak to you and heal those inner stories. Now, once again, if we're talking about the inner story, we're not talking about some therapeutic mumbo-jumbo, right? Going home and thinking, oh, I'm the victim, or I've got to have all this stuff. No, there is mental healing. God has given us counselors to help the mind, help the soul repair, right? I'm all for Christian counseling. We need those. However, there's only some things that the Spirit of God can do and unlock and heal in your life. Man can only go so far, and those are good things. But every pastor that wants to preach the whole word says, really, it has to be the counsel of God. Only the Spirit can go into the spirit and soul and mind and body and reside there and heal and bring restoration. But look at Psalm 49 here. I'm going to highlight a few verses for us, okay? Look at verse 1 here. Remember, this is the Lord speaking to Israel. Now remember, we are grafted in with Israel. Now, there's promises to Israel that are still true today. Now some of these are for a different time period and geographical period. However, the things we're going to read today tie in with us as the Gentiles tie us into Israel in the blessings. Here we go. Look at verse 1. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Listen to me, O coastal lands, and give attention to your peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb." Now, this is Isaiah speaking here. "The Lord called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother, he named my name." First of all, this speaks to a different story. God knew Isaiah, and he knows you. We're not orphans. We're not some random blob of amoebas or nucleuses coming together to operate. We are called by name. So culture says, the official story is that, oh, the Big Bang, this life is meaningless. You somehow came out of the primordial ooze. Ooh, no. God says, the ground truth is what? The inner story is, I made you, I formed you, I've created everything in your body wonderfully and perfectly. See the difference here? That when we anchor to that story, then our emotions get tied to that and not to what we're seeing in our culture, the chaos and the shootings, and because we have no purpose. But this gives us purpose. Look at verse 6. Drop down to verse 6. This is the Lord. He says, this is God saying to the Israelites, "Is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." That's a promise for us, the Gentiles. Once again, what's the official story? The official story is that God can do all things. God's saying, Israel, why are you worrying? I can do anything. But the ground story is Israel's like, oh, can the God save us from the Egyptians? Can the God save us from the Assyrians? If you read your Old Testament, how many times did the Israel say, oh, woe is me. Oh, we're up the creek. We can't be saved. But what does God remind them? Israel, is it too light a thing for me to do, to bring you back, to preserve you, and to use you to spread my name to all the Gentiles? Very simple. Let's keep going on here. Look at verse 13 through 16 here. It says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forsaken me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me." Well, interesting, right? Culture may say officially, oh, culture may say, well, you're forgotten. But the ground truth is, no, we know in our inner life, God's with us. He's not forgotten us. We can know. Culture might say, oh, there's no hope, nihilism, this is all meaningless. However, we know God hasn't forgotten us. He's with us. He calls us by name. Look at verse 22 and 23 here. Continue down here in chapter here. He goes on. God says, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, and they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be," listen to this, "kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame." What's the Lord speaking? He's saying, hey, you may feel in a bad place. You may feel like you've gotten the raw edge of the deal, but I'm going to reverse those fortunes. I'm going to restore you. Once again, the official truth is maybe, oh, we're having a hard time. But the ground truth is, the inner life, the deeper story is that our God will redeem and restore and make all things right at the end of time. That's what he does. And Isaiah is remembering here to the people here. And look at verse 26, lastly, of this chapter here. This is what God speaks over us, the ground story, the deeper story, the real story of our lives. He says this. He goes, "I will make your oppressors," now this is hard, "eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." The official story is we might be persecuted, we might be put up, we might be pressed up against something. But the Lord is reminding Israel, he goes, no matter the pressures that are in front of you, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, he goes, no matter how bad and evil they look, he goes, I'm going to make them devour themselves because I'm the Lord God, no one touches my people. That was the deeper story the Lord was speaking through Isaiah to his people, to be strong in that. And out of that deeper story, let your emotions and beliefs reflect that. Are we tracking on that? The Lord speaks something, and we need to tie our emotions and beliefs to that. Let's go down to Jeremiah. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 21. Once again, what does the Lord speak over us? What's the deeper story of our life? Right? We have the story that we tell people, but then there's the deeper story that we live with and operate out of. God wants to speak to this deeper, lower story. He wants to get down to the corrupted story in our lives. And corrupted doesn't mean that you're evil or wrong. It just means It just means our enemy, Satan, what does he do? He's the father of lies. All he has to do is plant enough lies down here. Oh, yeah, you were abandoned. People called you stupid. You have a stuttering problem, you know, this or that. Yeah, up here, yeah, you're loved. You have mom, dad, but this is the real story. God in his word speaks to this ground story. And that out of that comes our emotions and beliefs. So look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Look at verses 1 through 4. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but I encourage you to read, go home and read all this. 31, 1 through 4, it says, "At that time declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel, and you shall adorn yourself with tambourines, and shall go forth in the dance of merrymakers." In Hebrew culture, the merrymakers, these were women that celebrated military victories. Look at these first four verses. They found grace in the wilderness. The Lord appeared to them from afar. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Excuse me. There's times in our life that we may be like Israel. We feel like we are in the wilderness against an army, and we have no hope. That's the official story, right, to the world, right? Man, those Christians, boy, they are just, they, everyone in the world's hating them, the government's hating them, but what do we know? The Lord says, I love you with an everlasting love, that you'll find me in the wilderness. In the dry places, I'll be there. I'll water you. You'll be like a thriving plant. You're okay. I got you. That's the deeper ground story we got to tell ourselves. And even in hard times, many of you are walking through some hard things in your life. This doesn't make these stories of your life go away, the hard things you've walked through. It just means that God's with us. He doesn't forsake us. That even in the ground truth, the hard things, the abuse, the trauma, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's the losing the job, maybe it's the bankruptcy, whatever you've went through, the death of someone, God's still there. The enemy wants to tell you this is all life is. But God, his word says, no, there's life in the wilderness. There's a refreshing. I've loved you forever, and I have continued my faithfulness to you, to you, to you, to you, to you. That's the word he wants to speak to our inner story. Look at verse 11 here in chapter 31 here. He goes on to say, "For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him." Come on now, right? Sometimes we get in stories, or the story is we feel, "Well, God, nothing can save me, right? That boss is too mean, that debt's too big, or whatever." And we think, "Well, God, I'm bound." But we sang today, we stand on the chain-breaking, miracle-working God. And this verse right here, through the prophet Jeremiah, reminds the people, Israel, hey, these kings and these governments think they're big boys. But God, to them, they're just little twigs. And he can break the bondages and restore and redeem and pull you out of any hard situation. He speaks to the deeper story. Let's keep going on here. Look at verse 13 here. He says, "Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be married. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow." Once again, the official story is maybe that loved one died. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you have a physical ailment that, you know, just won't go away. That, like Paul, God hasn't removed or healed yet. But that's the official truth. But the ground truth, we might want to tell ourselves, well, woe is me. But no. God's truth speaks to our ground truth story. He says, hey, I'll turn that mourning into joy. I'll comfort them. I'll comfort you. Yeah, you may have a bum leg that hasn't been healed, but I'll be with you, my son, my daughter. He wants to speak that over us. Look at verse 17 here. He goes on here. He says, "There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country." Now, once again, this is speaking to the nation of Israel, which you've seen come back to, as a nation in 1948, and God has still drawn his people, and this is still speaking to the end times drawing of the people to Israel. But also, this is also a prophetic promise of what God does we've seen it in the supernatural, that God restores and redeems, and he draws his children back, that there is a hope for your future, and your children shall come back. There's a promise for us. The official truth is, my family's gone, I'm by myself, but God says to the ground truth, to the corrupted story that we might want to tell ourselves, I'm by myself, he says, no, I've got you. I've got a family for you. I've got the family of God here for you. I can restore. Call on me. I can restore your family. I can restore that marriage or that loved one here. And then lastly, here in Jeremiah 31, excuse me, let's look at verses 23 and 24. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once more they shall use these words in the land of Judah and its cities. When I restore their fortunes, the Lord bless you, O habitation of righteousness, O holy hill, and Judah and in all the cities shall dwell together, and the farmers and those who wander with their flocks. For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish." Man, church, that's a great promise for us. that the official truth may feel like we're without a home, or our home's been lost, or maybe you lost your home in a fire, or your family's homestead was taken through misfortune, whatever happened. You could feel this. That's the official truth, right? The ground truth is what God says. Yeah, you know what? You may feel everything's taken away, but the ground truth is I'm with you. I can restore. I can redeem. And that I love you, that I'll satisfy that weary soul. I'll replenish that languishing soul that feels worn out today. You may feel that, but God says he wants to replenish it. He wants to heal it. He wants to restore that fortune, that feeling. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get your home back and get the dog back and the truck back and all that stuff. It's God speaking. He can do that. But here he's speaking. He's speaking both. I can do the physical, but I can also can heal the emotional, the deep inner story of your life. How many of you met someone that's felt abandoned or lost in this world or feels like they have nothing? I meet people all the time like that. They feel like that. They may look, officially, I've met people here in the county and people in my business as a county now, that boy, financially, dude, they're rocking it. I mean, many of us, we'd be jealous. They've got the home, the cars, all good things. You know, God bless your people with these things. Officially, they look good, but down here, they're bankrupt. They're languishing. Because they don't know Jesus. They don't have something that lasts more than these possessions. Once again, possessions aren't wrong. The money's fine. But once again, officially they look good, but the ground truth is they're languishing. They're weary. And I've met so many people in this last year that just, they want something real. They want a hope and a future. They want restoration. And church, God speaks to our stories, and we get to speak to their story, to that ground story that lives inside of them. Look at Psalms now 52. Let's turn to our last portion of Scripture. Psalms 52 here. Turn back to Psalms 52. And once again, I hope for you today, I hope you don't, this doesn't sound like a psychology lesson. However, we serve the God who created our mind and our emotions. Emotions aren't bad. Feelings aren't bad. They have to be anchored in the truth of God's word, right? There's 30 emotions that we have. Anger is not wrong. It just has to be anchored right. I mean, we there's a lot of our emotions we think are wrong or not godly. Well, no, all emotions can be godly if they're anchored in Christ and focused on the right things and used for the right motives, all right? So let's look at this last psalm here. As we were there. Psalms 52. We're going to read the entire. It's kind of short, so let's just read the whole thing. It says, "Why do you boast of evil, O mighty men? The steadfast love of God endures all the day." I'm reading out of the ESV here. "Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, 'See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good, in the presence of the godly.'" Now, Psalms 52 here, there's two stories going on. Are you picking up on the two stories? There's the deceitful and the evil ones that are thinking, oh, we've got this. We can run right over God and his people. We can do our own thing. We can deceive and cheat and scheme and do whatever we want and abuse people, steal from people, do all the stuff. That's the official. How many of us have seen abusive governments? Come on, we can write. Currently, in the world, they're there. Killing people, stealing, robbing, destroying whole nations. Right? They think, oh, we've got this. Oh, this God, he can't stop us. But what is the ground story God reminds his people in Psalm 52 here is that we trust and we wait on the name of the Lord and that God is he's steadfast, his love is steadfast, and that he will make us green like an olive tree, be planted and secure, and that those officially, they think they can get over God, well, they're going to meet the ground story that God's going to break them and that nothing goes past our Lord and Savior, that nothing gets past him. There's two stories there. Their story is a story of deceitfulness. Our story is we know, God, we are nothing without you. Nothing gets by you. No government can get over you or deceive you or hide things from you. We just live in the honest truth that our story is, God, we need you. We trust in your love, your forgiveness, your faithfulness, your kindness, and that you speak a better word over our life, a better story over our life here. And so with this story and in this story here, I want to draw a circle here. I'm going to draw some concentric rings here. Okay? Now, in the middle is you and me. Okay? This is our thoughts, our thought life, our stories, our emotions, the things that we just keep, I mean, we keep it right here. And this is what we believe about ourselves, how in our own eyes, remember from Numbers 13, the Israelites, this is how we see ourselves in our eyes. Now, we have all this in our heart, mind, and soul, right? It's all moving around here. We all know from the gospel Jesus loves us, right? How many of us today would raise our hand? Raise your hand. Jesus loves me. He died for me. He forgave me, right? Now, here's the question. This is your innermost thoughts and what you believe and perceive about God, yourself. Where do you put that truth that Jesus loves you? He died for you. He healed you. Do you put it out here? Oh, the official truth is, I know Jesus is real. He loves me. The ground truth is, I got him out in this ring. See the distance between the heart and mind? Yeah, I know Jesus loves me, but he's out here. He loves us, but man, my story is too broken, too corrupted. My story is too dark. He can't, man. I'm just going to make a buy and thank the good Lord if I can get into heaven one day. We keep his love out here. Or some of us might be here. Well, Jesus loves me, and he forgave me. He redeems me. He can renew my mind, Romans 12. But, I mean, it's a little closer. He gets to penetrate a little more of these onion rings in my life. Then there's some of us. Oh, he's even closer. Woo, yep, he's closer. Oh, God's doing a work. Oh, yeah, but there's still those boxes, those interior life walls, those interior rooms of the soul. We say, nope, Jesus. We, once again, like we read in Psalm 52, we think we can keep this off from God, but we know the ground truth is God sees it all. You perceive my ways. You know my thoughts before I even stand up, before I speak, King David talks about. Then there's some of us that take the gospel truth and we integrate it and we let it penetrate all through these layers to our story and to our emotions and our belief. Now, church, you might think, Pastor Dan, you're there. No, I am not. I am mortal just like all of you. Ask my wife, all right? There's some things I've not let the gospel of Jesus penetrate yet in my own life. And I can feel that when I'm like, no, Holy Spirit, you're not touching that. Nope. I'm going to react the way I want to react because this is my story. This is my story. And I've not let the gospel and the work of Jesus saturate in silence and solitude, saturate all these ground truth little story points in my life. I just was talking with Ginger last night. I said, there's a situation I'm dealing with. And I said, you know what, babe? I said, I've got to let Jesus touch this box. I said, I've never let him touch this box in 43 years. But I said, I feel the Holy Spirit speaking yesterday to me saying, if you don't allow me to touch this and heal this and renew it and speak my word over this, the story that's going to be written is going to be dark and gloomy and bad and who knows what will happen. And so I'm speaking this to you out of my own personal life, walking this too. We are here in the middle, but we've got to let the gospel wash through and wash over and wash and renew us and get to us. I've never met one person yet in my life, even the ones we would respect and people I respect that have said, oh, yep, Jesus has every little ounce compartment of my life. Doesn't mean they're living in gross sin or they're not going to be in heaven. Everybody tracking with me? It just means we're human. And there's some things we try to protect because our story got corrupted, the enemy lied to us, and we protect it. And through our own eyes, we think, man, we're this. We compare. And my admonition to us and encouragement is let the Lord penetrate all those areas. All those areas. Because here's why. When I believe the gospel at a deeper level, my emotions and belief begin to match the Christ who loves me. Now I'll be very truthful. I grew up in a very loving home. I'm very thankful for my love, my family, my mom and dad, my grandparents. I had a loving aunt and uncle. I grew up with love. Not perfect, but I grew up feeling loved, taken care of for. But even in that human love, I realize now my parents and my grandparents, people, they had limits, right? We all have limits. And I'm not dogging. They were great. I'm thankful for them. But I've never, I think, fully experienced. I'm 43. Walk with Jesus for many years. There's still things in my heart I've not let the gospel of Jesus, the love of Jesus, penetrate and heal and renew. Is that okay to say that as a believer, right? Doesn't mean you're sinful. Doesn't mean you're not going to see Jesus. There's just things we still have to let God wash in us and match. And look at Zephaniah 3:17 here. Think about this. And here's the verse I want to attach to this point is that the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. What story do you sing over your life and allow the Lord to sing over your life? Is a story of condemnation, legalism, I got to look right, be right, show up church, be good, know a bunch of Bible verses, or do you allow the love of the God that says this, I want to sing over you? And it's not some weird, I know sometimes guys, I remember before, it's not some weird sissy thing or like that. It is the God who made you. He's a man's man. He knows us. He sings over. He's created you. Do we know that God, the God that writes you on the palm of his hand and knows you? This is the story that he wants to sing to you over you. I love you. I've made you. And all your faults, all your things you struggle with, he's like, it's okay. I love you. You're mine. Once we allow this verse to penetrate the most inner parts of our soul, God does a renovating work in our life, a renovation of the heart and mind, and he heals us. And then our story is we go out to culture. Now, the culture has a story, right? Culture has a story, but we get to go out and speak. We're like, culture, yeah, all the stuff they clamor about in the news. Guys, you know that's a bunch of just distraction and junk. They're like, this. Here's the official story. No, the real story is the enemy has taken your little story points, the brokenness of humanity, and lied and said there is no God, he doesn't care for you. But we get to go out as a people of God with the God who sings over us and say, no, let me tell you about the God who sings over you. Let me tell you about the gospel of Jesus that can wash and get to those inner parts that no one can get to. The gospel tells us that, let me say this, the deeper narrative of our lives, that we are valued by the Creator. He knows our afflictions. He is the one who can break the power of sin and darkness in our lives and our families, our bodies. He is the one who gave his life as a ransom for us. He walks with us. He never leaves us. He empowers us. He has a plan for us. In Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is the story the Lord God Almighty sings over each one of our lives. Whether you believe it or walk in it or feel it or don't feel it, there's days I don't feel this. But I have to realize that is the ground truth of what the Lord speaks over our lives. And I've got to help my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and sisters here, the Woodbury County, see this is the real story that God wants to sing over our lives. But if we don't get that, then our emotions and our beliefs are tied to the corrupted story, and it leads us on paths of sin and destruction and darkness. Once again, like we said, if you had Stephen King tell the story or Steven Spielberg, the stories are going to look different. The enemy, it will be like Stephen King and tell a dark and hideous murder story. But the King of Kings tells a story of victory and triumph. And even setbacks and hardship and defeat and abandonment or sickness, the King tells a story that is triumphant because he is at work. And he is the only one that truly knows how our stories go. And that is one thing, if I can encourage us today, church, let the King write your story. Let the gospel get to your innermost core. Whatever you keep from him. And you don't have to tell me that. You can go to a Christian counselor. I encourage you, go to a Christian counselor if you need that. Or if it's something that you don't think needs professional counseling from a Christian, I tell you, go to a Christian counselor. If not, go to one of your brothers and sisters in here and ask them to pray with you and to talk through it, right? If you remember from the Old Testament, what did David's mighty men do after a battle? They sat around a fire, they cleaned their weapons, they talked, and they ate. What did they do? They were counseling one another. They were decompressing, right? And that got the men ready for the next conquest, which God had called them to do. And we need this in our life, not some sitting down and telling me about, you know, when you were 3 years old and you didn't get a bottle of milk and how that ruined your life. No. We need to talk about the things, right? What happened when you were a child, when you were a teenager, when you were youngly married or young adult, and you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s. Things happen in life that God wants to make sure the story doesn't get corrupted. He wants to say, no, that was real. That hurt was real, that loss, or that blessing or that promotion was real. That was me. He wants to take all that and make sure it's anchored to Zephaniah here, to Jeremiah, to Isaiah, that he speaks over us, has a plan to restore and to redeem us. And so here's the two questions I have for us as we take away, as we end here today. I know I've went a little longer, so thank you for being patient. Here's the two questions I want to encourage you in your story. I've challenged our church leaders this year to be emotionally healthy. We're going through a book in a series by one of our Sons of God pastors called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. Now, once again, you take in the good meat, spit out the bones, whatever, but God wants his people to be emotionally healthy. You can't be spiritually mature and be emotionally immature, right? I've not met many people in my life that are super spiritual that are emotionally immature, and most of them are emotionally mature as well. Not perfect, not high on mind, not pious, but just able to understand their emotions in congruency with what the Spirit is doing in their life. And so here's the two questions for us, is this, to help us be more, knowing our story and be emotionally mature, which leads to spiritual maturity, is this. Are we listening to and walking with the one who has written our original story? Christ wrote a story for your life. He's got a story for your life that he wants to weave, make a beautiful picture, a beautiful tapestry in your life. Some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor Dan, you might be in this room, you might think, well, my story looks kind of ragged and tattered. And it might be, but guess what? To Jesus, he's still weaving something beautiful. To him, it's beautiful because he's with you. Secondly, what stories and or emotions do I need Jesus to heal and redeem today? There are some of us, some of the older generations, man, you keep emotions right. You don't talk about emotions. You keep it right here. You talk about emotions, you're weak. You're less than when you talk about your emotions. My grandfather was a World War II generation. Godly man. But it was hard for him to talk about stuff sometimes. Or talk about things that really meant a lot to him. Or talk about sometimes the past of how he grew up in an alcoholic family in the hills of Western Maryland with abuse, going to war to get out of, think about that. Think about going to the Army in World War II, being the front lines. He fought with Patton. He on the front lines. Doing that over being in your home. I mean, think about what the hell you had to grow up in to get to, that the Army in Nazi Germany was more appealing than your home life. But Grandpa could never talk about all this stuff. Doesn't mean he was wrong. I know Grandfather's in heaven, but I want to encourage you today. There's nothing wrong with talking about our emotions, but dealing with it in the right process, through the right avenues, through Scripture. We don't talk about our life and inner life just to talk about it and feel all gooey and talk about how we're victims and, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. No, there can be true hardships and things that have been wrong to you. But God says, yeah, that's the official story, but the ground truth is I'm working in all this. I'm with you. I haven't left you. I can heal those wounds. I can restore those memories. I would encourage us today, if you're struggling with memories or emotions, Ginger and I, we pray this over our kids and our life. Ask the Lord to come and sit in the seat of your emotions. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does the mind hold? The mind holds emotions and processes and beliefs. Ask the Holy Spirit to come sit in the seat of my emotions. Our cerebral cortex in the front of us holds our emotions. Flight or fight contains a lot of how we believe and perceive in things, how we express anger or sadness or love or kindness and gentleness. Ask the Lord to come sit in those emotions. Come heal and restore and redeem. Because the Lord sings a different story over us. He sings a story of kindness and gentleness and favor and strength that I'm with you and that I've not left you. So that's what I'm going to challenge us in church is these two things. Are we listening to and walking with the one who has written our original story? And what stories and or emotions do I need, do I need Jesus to heal and redeem today? And once again, this doesn't mean your life is falling apart. Many of you look in the restroom, my life isn't falling apart. I'm blessed. I don't feel like I'm some back to case. I'm going to go out and, go kick a dog and go, run my car into a wall. No, I'm not. But I need God to heal things in my life. There's still things I keep from my spouse, my kids, or even my coworkers, or I react badly, or I say, well, that's just not me, or that's just, I'm just, extrovert, so that's just who I am. No, I think those might be unhealed stories and things the gospel needs to wash over my life. Okay, am I tracking with me, right? We give a lot of excuses for some of our behavior as Christians. Oh, that's just, well, that's who I am. No, that's the corrupted story that's not been healed by the Spirit yet and been restored and redeemed and renewed. So, my promise is this, you help me and I'll help you. Let's walk together in spiritual maturity and emotional maturity, right? We're all going to see Jesus, but let's keep going there in a healthy way that the world sees, man, these people, the people of God, boy, they've got their stuff together, right? There's some groups, there's some people that when you meet them, they do not have their stuff together, right? They're crazy. I mean, crazy not in a clinical way, but just, it's just life is chaotic. When it doesn't have to be that way, when the Lord brings us together. And it doesn't mean they're less than, doesn't mean they're evil or wrong. It just means they need the Lord's help from the Lord's people to help them be together. So, all right, enough of me speaking. Let's pray. And I don't know about you, but let's call on his name. How many of you want to be emotionally mature and spiritually mature this year? Come on, raise your hand. We should all be, yep. All right, many of you across this room, I know many of you here are mature. I look up to many of you in this room. But God has more for us. He wants to heal us and restore us and guide us. So let's pray, church. Father, we come before you. We say thank you for all that you are doing. God, we say thank you that you are redeeming our hearts and our minds. And God, most of all, you have redeemed our story by your son's sacrifice. That we are not lost, that we are not without a hope or a future, but we have a future by the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray right now, God, for all of us in this room and those that are at home that couldn't be with us today, for our grandkids, our youth, our nieces and nephews, our grandmas and grandpas, our aunts and uncles, that God, you would begin to restore them. Restore their minds, restore their emotions, God. May those stories that they keep deep inside them, God, may it be penetrated by the gospel of Jesus. and the love of him for us. God, I pray that you would send your spirit to all of us, that you begin to renew and restore. God, help us to talk with trusted counselors, trusted friends, to process things, to talk through things, God, so that we can be life-giving and be free and walk in the power and the joy of you, Jesus. God, I pray that every church in Siouxland, God, every church, Heartland, Elevate, Sunnybrook, Sioux City First, Morningside, God, God, E-Free, Downtown, I pray that God, all of your churches, God, would be walking emotional maturity and wholeness, that you sing over us, that you sing a better song over us, God, that you tell a better story over the lies of the enemy that wants to tell us a negative story in our life, that Jesus, you speak louder and stronger and deeper than any work of the enemy. And we know that he is bound in our lives. And so, God, we just ask for your spirit to come in us, flow through us and out of us to others to bring healing to your people here in Siouxland. God, we thank you for all that you're doing. We say thank you for your provision, for your love. We just say thank you for the people you've put in this room, the Lord's people to help us here, God. We bless you, Jesus. We say thank you. Go with us as we go out. Help us to be a blessing, God, to those in Sioux City. In your name we pray. Amen.